a pre-recorded version of the WTK Roundtable on WTK, unsurprisingly, 9 o'clock Thursdays. This is recorded, though, so if you call in, nobody will answer you.
Here on the Michigan Insider on Sports Talk 1050 WTKA online at WTKA.com. We are live here inside the MDN studios. So MGO Blog Roundtable. I love this hour. Look forward to every single week. Love it.
Don't even.
When I found out Michigan was hiring Dan Enos, you gotta understand what an adjustment that was for me. That was hard, Brian.
It was hard
because, you know, Dan Enos is part of maybe one of the most traumatic games of my life, the 1990 Michigan State game.
He didn't trip Desmond, though.
But he was a part of it. Okay. He was a part of that travesty. It's the first time in my life that I could remember Michigan being the number one team in the country.
Sure.
Brian, and he was a part of ruining that.
Okay.
And so adjusting to this man being on Michigan's football staff, It was a leap for me. It took me some effort. I think it's going to take you.
Oh, come on!
I think this Jim McElwain.
Oh,
this Jim McElwain. This pending Jim McElwain hire.
Please, I'm not.
It's gonna take some effort for you, Brian. That's what I'm sensing, man. I'm seeing it in you that this is gonna be it's gonna be an arduous task, but it is possible.
Look,
right?
No. Like this is bad. This is like the moment when Rich Rod hired Greg Robinson, and I was like, "This is bad." I have no idea how you could look at Florida's offense and be like, "I want a piece of that." I don't know how you could look at a guy who's like, "I take the shark thing very, very seriously, far too seriously."
So here's a big question,
yeah.
Because we have I like Nuss personally. I'm prefacing saying I like him personally, but who do you put the offense on based on what you saw here and then at Florida? Was Jim McElwain the type of head coach with his offense that Jim is? Like you look at Michigan's offense, this is Jim Harbaugh's offense.
Sure.
Was the Florida offense Jim McElwain's offense, or was it Doug Nussmeier's offense?
Well, one, if it wasn't Jim McElwain's offense, I don't want him as an assistant offensive coach. And two, to some extent, it's always the head coach's responsibility, especially when he has a history on that side of the ball. Mm. And I know that they walked into a Muschamp kind of roster.
But yeah, they did.
Will
Greer getting deep sixed was a big deal for them.
Yeah, and they had some misfortune at quarterback, but just looking at that offense and just what they were trying to do, I don't know, man. And like I got to go back to the shark thing, because that is the absolute worst way to approach that public relations issue. And like, he would bring it up at press conferences apropos of nothing.
So here's what you got. So this is glass half full, Brian.
Half full.
He doesn't have to.
He doesn't have to do press conferences anymore.
Maybe once every few weeks. He doesn't have to be in front of the media.
I question the intelligence of anyone who would handle that situation in that way. He also had his own barbecue sauce.
So you got to tell people what the shark thing was.
You don't remember the shark thing.
I remember the shark thing. I have some listeners that don't know what the
shark
thing is.
For the audience, a picture surfaces on the internet of a boisterous nude man lying on a shark he has killed. And the conservationists are very upset about this. And the college football people say, is that Jim McElwain? They know it's not Jim McElwain because they can look at the picture, but it kind of looks like Jim McElwain and it's a little bit funny. Someone asked this about this at a press conference, and he says something along the lines of, this hurts my family, this hurts our program, and it's got to stop.
So he's a dramatic guy.
Yeah, and it's just, and like, he just kept bringing it up. Like, people aren't asking him about it, and he's just like, shark thing, shark thing, shark thing, I'm not the shark guy. To the point where I'm like, is he the shark guy? I don't know.
Hey, Craig Ross, it's safe to say that Brian and Jim McElwain won't be going out for dinner anytime soon. My God.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm glad you started there, Sam, because I was going to ask Brian if he thought McElwain will turn the UM offense into a barracuda or whether they will continue to flounder.
As long as they don't flop and think it's all right. Oh, my God. It just keeps getting worse.
So, in any event, I don't know. You know, 2 or 3 years ago, wasn't McElwain considered a sort of hot coach?
He was.
Like a big deal.
One good year.
Okay, now all of a sudden he's a stiff. I don't know.
He's always been a stiff.
What the Sharks said, too.
You guys are on fire today. On fire
today. Aren't you glad that Ira took the day off?
On fire today. So, Craig, bring your veteran calm to this.
Just be like
and understanding. So this is the thing. I think we have to wait to see how much, you know, how he really fits into this puzzle, because this is a unique circumstance for anyone stepping into the offensive side of the ball to call himself a play caller. At Michigan, I remember hearing. So I talked to a lot of coaches, non-Michigan coaches, and I did so during the Enos piece, right? And so as we found out more about the Enos thing, and I first started mentioning it, I found out that Enos was actually, there was actually conversations with Enos last year before Pep was hired. And, you know, one of the questions from Enos at that time was, well, who calls the plays? And
right.
And Harbaugh's a response, apparently, according to this non-Michigan coach that knows Enos, he said his response was, well, we all call the plays. You know, we all call the plays. And so Pep kind of has talked about it in the past. I talked to him about it last spring. He said, we are all here to assist Jim.
Yeah.
And so if you read some of the portrayals of how it works, we read one from Stanford, says, hey, you know, he solicits suggestions from his coordinators and then he decides what to run. So is it going to be the case that Jim McElwain, assuming for the sake of argument that he has a coordinator tag next to his name, that he's the sole suggester, or is it going to continue to be a collective yeah. suggestion pool? Is that how it's going to work?
But what's going to happen is Jim McElwain is always going to be like, let's have sex with the shark. And and Jim Harbaugh is going to be like, that's not a play call. That's like romance. We're not romancing. Yeah, we're playing football.
Craig, can you add some sanity to this for me, please?
I think Brian is
correct.
Is off the edge on this one. No, I don't think you're correct on this one. I mean, I think there's a little bit of concern. I mean, I think it's concerning that the Michigan offensive side seems different than what we're used to, in the sense that it feels a little chaotic or disorganized.
Can we look at I'm just talking about in general, not specifically as it relates to Jim McElwain. But if this has always been Harbaugh's process from San Diego to Stanford to the first 2 years here, this is how he does it.
I mean, he used to have a wide receiver coach named Johnny Morton, and they tried to get him back, and that wasn't happening. But like, if you look at the defensive side of the ball, what do you have in the secondary? You have Mike Zordich in NFL safety. You have Don Brown coaching linebackers.
Now you have Chris Partridge coaching safety.
Well, you have guys who are legitimate position coaches coaching positions. So you've got Greg
with
Madison,
a guy who's and with a guy who's in charge.
Right. And if you look at the offensive side of the ball, like, okay, you have a position coach in Drevno. And then you just have a bunch of offensive coordinators. And I kind of get, like, you know, running back coach is something that, you know, a lot of people just hand off to a recruiter and stuff. But like, man, I want a wide receivers coach. That's what I want. I want a guy who's been a wide receiver, preferably in the NFL, who has no athleticism and got away with it because he knew all the tricks. That's what I want. I want the Jeremy Gallen of wide receiver coaches. And, you know, they've got grad assistants and stuff. They brought Roy back. That's fine. But like, those guys can't be out there on the practice field with those players. And I don't think that bringing in Jim McElwain is really going to up the...
But GAs can.
GA kid. Yeah. Okay. Well, in any case, I prefer a young guy who knows his position and can go recruit. And Jim McElwain couldn't recruit at Florida, which is in the state of Florida. And they couldn't recruit at all. And I'm just like, what is this guy going to bring to the table? Just longing for cartilage-based life forms?
I mean, it's going to be a struggle. It's going to be a struggle with you, Brian.
I'll tell you what's going to happen. All successes will be Jim Harbaugh's, and all failures will be Jim McElwain's. So in that case, it's like a brilliant deflection mechanism, because I'm just like, what is this McElwain guy doing? It's 2nd and 10. Good job, Jim. It's 1st and 10. You got a 1st down. Good job, Jim.
Here's the thing, Craig. So yeah. What is unconventional to us is conventional for Jim with how things have worked. So looking at his success in the past, looking at his, relatively speaking anyway, to this past year, success over the first couple of years, are you now concerned with the process based on last year, or do you look at last year as an anomaly based on all the success leading up to that point?
Yeah, I mean, I can't answer that. Let me go into a bigger deal, or maybe not a bigger deal, but the bigger picture. And I'm afraid this sort of piles on to the bigger picture. I mean, this last week, after our show last week, I got a lot of emails, and some from really, really smart and sophisticated fans who were just depressed as hell. And they were depressed because we're coming off an 8-5 year that wasn't what we wanted. They were depressed because they thought that the recruiting was disappointing this year. Whether that's true or not, I don't know, but that was certainly an impression. And then I look back at it and I said, wait a minute. Next year, we're going to have, I think, 9 starters return in defense, NFL corners, as good a defensive ends as anybody's got, experienced safeties, a potential All-American and inside linebacker, Khalik Hudson at the Viper spot, who, really had, I thought, a pretty good year. Mm-hmm. You got a 5-star inside replacing, you got Avery Solomon coming in on the inside, we lose Mo Hurst, who was phenomenal, and you can't really replace him, but you got guys there, particularly Solomon, who maybe will be pretty good. And so you got a couple of 4/5-star guys who are and linebacker who are waiting in the wings to perhaps replace Mike McCray. So you look at this defense, and this is a pretty good defense. On the offense, you got experienced tight ends or wide receivers, I promise, will be better next year than they were this year. I think Brian predicted that. I think maybe a lot of us were naive to think that you could just bring in young guys. Of course, the black injury didn't help, but yeah, the tight ends and the wide receivers should be good next year. Our running back should be fine. And on the interior of the offensive line, you got Runyon, Spinellis, Ruiz, Bradison, Onwenu, maybe Chuck Filiaga. You got bodies, and some of these guys have
all tackle.
Yeah. Okay. Right. Tackle. And so what? Right. So you're looking at offensive tackle and quarterback. Mm-hmm. Maybe the NCAA will solve our quarterback problem for us. I don't know. Sam seems to be optimistic on point. Others are optimistic. Offensive tackle. I kept hearing lots of rumors all season long that James Hudson was going to do it, that he was going to be a good offensive tackle, and that now this week you have Grant Newsom saying he's going to play. And you combine that with the possibility of this, is it Calvin Anderson? Is that guy? I don't know what his prognosis
is. He's going to Texas.
You think so? Okay. They still got Andrew Stuber as a possible. So what you're looking at is exactly what Brian just said. This team is maybe one tackle away and an NCAA decision away from being a pretty damn good team next year. And I don't think Jim McElwain, who has been at least regarded coach, Sharks or otherwise, in the past, is going to change that all that much. In the end, it's still Harbaugh's offense, and he does it in a curious way. It's not a way that other people do it as, but there's no, but it's had some success in the past, and it can be a success in the future. So, I don't want this to be too much gloom and doom. Let's see what the NCAA does. Let's see what our football team looks like coming out of the spring. But Brian's right. I mean, tackle is a major league issue.
I think it's the biggest question. I think it's the biggest question mark. It's the one that I have, you know, where it's the hardest to project. I think quarterback play will be better, period. It absolutely will be better if Shea Patterson is eligible, because that just takes that competition to a totally different level. I think the quarterback play is going to be something that, you know, you get into an Ohio State game with who you take whoever the quarterback is going to be this year, plug him into that Ohio State game last year, and I think Michigan wins. So that's kind of where I am with that, but I can't tell you right now.
I mean, that's the other thing is that I don't have a problem with, like, the play calling.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they did what they could given the fact that they didn't have any tackles or quarterbacks. and you look at that Ohio State game, and it's like, yeah, that was a pretty good game. And, you know, even the bowl game, like, they're driving to go up.
And they fumble,
They fumble, and it's just
– yeah.
And they're – you know, they didn't really get very good quarterback play from Peters in the bowl game. So it's like, what are you supposed to do when none of it works because the guys are overthrowing dudes by 10 yards? Well, given the circumstances, I thought the structure of the offense made as much sense as it possibly could. It's just that they didn't have a quarterback and they couldn't pass protect to save their lives.
Yeah, so we will see. And
they've addressed the not being able to pass protect to save their lives by not doing anything. So that's good.
Well, you know, look, for all the talk of development, we're going to find out a lot about development with these young heralded guys that they recruited.
Yeah.
You know, these are their guys finally at the tackle spot that are vying seriously to be the guys on the football field.
Yeah. And
so, you know, it'll either work.
Maybe they'll be able to pick up a basic stunt this year, too. That'd be nice.
It will work. Or it won't.
Well, I mean, so many of the problems were like, you know, you have a Mike Onwenu and whoever the right tackle is in this particular game, and the guys twist, and Michigan just can't pick it up. Mm-hmm. And Kugler can't pick it up, who's a fifth-year senior and doesn't understand that occasionally guys stunt. And, I mean, how does that not go back to the coaching? So I'm pretty frustrated by the fact that almost – half their issues, I think, on the offensive line with pass protection were mental. And I know that they had some young guys, but they were so bad. They were like three standard deviations below the mean bad.
Yeah.
I mean, one standard deviation below the mean. Okay, that happens. But they crippled this offense. And a lot of it went back to the fact that they couldn't see what they should be doing on the field.
You know, alas, this is just true. Last August when we started.
So let's pause for the cause. Hold your thought, Craig. I want you to pick that up on the other side because we are up against a break. So we'll get to this break now. When we come back on the other side, we'll pick up with you, Craig, and then we'll go to the phones as well. Mark, Jake, you guys are up first. We're going to return here on the Michigan Insider on Sports Talk 1050 WTKA, the ticket. We are back, folks, here on the Michigan Insider on Sports Talk 1050 WTKA. Online at WTK.com, Sam Webb, Matt the Miz Mizzler. On the other side, we have our MGO Blog Roundtable, minus Ed Fang. We have Brian Cook, who is in rare comedic form today.
What? I'm not joking. There's no jokes.
That's what makes it so funny.
Come on.
And we also have Craig Ross on the phone. And Craig, I interrupted one of your thoughts before we went to the break, so I want you to pick it back up.
Yeah. I was going to say, you know, 2 years ago before the season, we were talking about, well, this team could be okay, but we got offensive line issues. This August before the season, we were saying, you know, we got offensive line issues. Now, again, going into the coming season, we're saying the same thing. And that is hard to understand. This is now will be year four of Coach Harbaugh, and we're still making the same noises as how come we can't get, you know, good or decent, at least offensive line play. And I have no idea what the answer is to that. It's confusing to me.
Yeah. I wonder what you think the Warner influence will be.
I mean, he was a really good offensive line coach at Ohio State. Really good. Yeah. And when he got up to like the OC level, that's kind of when things fell apart for him. Mm-hmm. But his track record as an OL coach is excellent, and I'm hoping that he has a major influence on what Michigan decides to do.
Yeah, I mean, that's possible. And I also think it's too late or too early to get too worked up yet. I mean, let's see what it looks like in the spring. You know, they did, even though they didn't recruit much this year, you're always recruiting into the future on offensive line, or generally you are. And so they did recruit guys last year, and let's see how they develop them and what happens. And you do have a chance with a guy like Grant Newsom to solve a major plug. I mean, if you solve the left tackle problem, you solve the right tackle.
That's the one. That's the one that I'm least.
I'm not counting on Grant
Newsom. Yeah, this is not to say anything about Grant Newsom's will, his desire, his work ethic.
But
he's a terrific kid.
If he hasn't been practicing, you can't rely.
You know, he's in winter conditioning. Yeah, you know, to go from winter conditioning to contact is going to be a major leap. To go from contact in practice to performing in games at or even close to the level that he was performing at pre-injury is another big leap. So I'm not calling it impossible. I'm not betting against the young man. I'm hopeful. I'm just like, I'm not counting on that at this point.
Yeah, I mean, I understand that, and that's where I was until about a week ago too. But you know,
what changed a week ago?
Well, in the last week, 10 days, I heard him talking, and I thought, you know,
he's been saying that stuff
I know, but this time he convinced me. So I'm going to make a prediction that Grant Newsom will be our starting left tackle come next year. That's what I'm going to predict.
That would be amazing.
I mean, I don't know why. Maybe,
but it's not going to happen.
He just, all right, he's, we'll see. And I'm going to guess that maybe James Hudson's going to break out too. And so I think I'm not ready to give up yet. And yeah, Warner and, you know, maybe the offensive will help.
Yeah, I certainly don't think the die has been cast on the season like my friend and esteemed colleague seems to
think. I don't think the die has been cast on the season. I just think hiring a man with such desires is not really a good like pick me up. I know it's not really him. I know it's not. We conflate it because it's funny, but he's probably really, really angry at me.
So 734-998-1050. Let's talk to Jake in Ann Arbor. Jake, what's up? Jake, you there?
Yeah, right here. I just wanted to give props and congrats to the Michigan basketball team, Beeline, and his staff for winning the game last night. Now for the football team, I really think patience is a virtue. I really think this team's going to do big things. I'm going out on a limb. I think this team can beat Michigan State and Ohio State next year, but they got to just take it one game, one play, one moment at a time. I'll hang up and listen. Go Blue.
He is an eternal well of optimism, Jake.
Oh, I thought you were talking about me.
No, I was not. Absolutely not talking about you, Brian.
I'm an eternal well.
Not of optimism.
Well,
let's talk. Let's go back to the phones at 734-998-1050 and talk to Ed in the UP. Ed, you're on with the Roundtable Crew. What's up?
Good morning, gentlemen. I'd like to know if you could tell me the status of three Michigan players that were hurt last year, how they're rehabbing. Number one, Jeter. Number two, Singleton. Number three, Villain. If they have these guys healthy, that's going to help immensely. Thank you.
I've heard great things about Drew Singleton. From bowl prep to winter conditioning, I've heard a great deal about how he's faring. You know, and so much so that I wonder, because he's a Sam, and we saw Michigan use the Sam a lot more.
Furbush, you mean?
Singleton is a Sam.
Yeah, but that's the position.
That's the position that Furbush plays. We saw them use that a lot more. I wonder if they'll move Singleton around some just to get him on the field more next year, based on what I'm hearing. That's if it carries over into the spring and it looks like he's going to ball out.
I mean, there's not really a whole lot of – I mean, you need someone to replace McCray. If he wins that, he'll be in the mix for that. Like, they're going to make him available for that spot, I'm sure. Villain is a guy who I think – could have played late last year, but at that point it's just like, we're going to get a red shirt on him. I wouldn't be too concerned about it. I think it was either the Yule or Renz who was also talking about how Villain
Bryce who talked to his his trainer from Canada
was actually up recently, brought another crew of Canadians in to visit. And he talked about it. He said, you know, Luigi is up over 250 now. You know, they expect him to be around, you know, in the 260 range by the time fall camp starts. You know, they really feel like he's going to be able. I mean, if you saw Quiddy Pay and Quiddy Pay, remember what we thought, what we said about Quiddy Pay? Like, you know, a guy really raw. I don't know that he's going to be able to see the field.
Yeah.
It's going to be Luigi Villain. Well, Villain gets injured and Pay is on the field and he actually looks like he belongs. So think about that. You know, in the context of what the expectations were for Luigi Villain. And we were expecting more from Villain than Pay. So I think there's reason to be optimistic there.
And then the third guy was?
He mentioned Jeter.
Jeter.
I have not gotten an update on where he is at this point. At last check, he was up around 290. He has been kicked inside.
Yeah.
So he's playing interior line now. But as for where he's figuring in that mix, look to get an update for you, Ed.
I mean, that'll be a spring thing.
Right.
By the way, is Wilton Spate transferred yet?
No, he hasn't found a landing spot yet. But his timeline has shifted too. Timeline has shifted. You know, initially he was saying that he was going to find a spot in time for
spring.
In time for spring, and that hasn't happened. I think he has waited out some options. Memphis was an option, and that's no longer on the table. You know, I had heard about some other schools. I'm checking my.
He should transfer to a Big Ten school and play basketball because then they'll win the league championship.
Some schools I've heard with regard to Wilton at this point are Texas Tech. Baylor.
Texas Tech.
Oklahoma State.
Oklahoma State.
Well, there's some schools that I've heard.
Is there any possibility he would come back to Michigan if Shea Patterson is not eligible?
I mean, I've seen
that's
that,
been floated out
I've
there,
seen that reported. I just can't. I would be extremely surprised.
Yeah.
Extremely surprised if that came to fruition.
All right, let's go. Come on.
734-998-1050. Let's go back to the phones and talk to Mark in Novi. Mark, what's up?
Hey, good morning, Sam. Good morning, guys. Hey, Brian, a couple of quick ones for you. You know, I'm kind of right with you, unfortunately, on this McElwain hire. And, you know, I hate to be so, you know, down. I guess it's a wait and see type of a deal. I mean, you have a coach down in Ohio State who, after signing day, said, if you're not a top-end recruiter, you're not on my staff. And just even if the Enos hire would have been kind of poo-pooed, you know, Enos, you know, has, you know, some recruiting chops, especially to the state of Michigan, as well as especially in the PSL and then in Ohio as well. For a guy like McElwain to go to Florida and not be able to recruit there, that's quite telling with that type of talent pool. And I don't know. I mean, I'm just kind of at a loss in the sense that, and the question I guess is twofold for you, Brian. One being, with this whole offensive play calling by committee, do you think that hurts Michigan's chances or opportunities to go out and hire a top flight OC, whether it's to poach one from a school currently, or to get someone like a Don Brown that, you know, may not be a well-known commodity, even though he had great success at BC. And the other question I have for you is, you know, the offensive line position. Every year we keep saying this and that, injuries. We miss a couple guys, recruiting, our tackles aren't very good. You know, everyone has those issues. And I think, what is the chances? I mean, I certainly hope Warner has a lot more say and kind of takes the reins of the OL. What do you think of the chances of that? Because the last 3 years with you know, Captain Drevno out there, nothing really seems to be very consistent. What's your take on those two things? Thanks, guys.
Well, so the original sin for Michigan's offensive line under Jim Harbaugh is that they couldn't recruit the first 2 years. The first year is pretty understandable because Harbaugh comes in from the NFL. He's flailing. He just needs to get some guys in the class because, you know, he's been left with absolutely nothing by Brady Hoke. The second year, they have Devery Hamilton commit, and they don't pull the trigger on Swenson in July like they should have. And so they get pretty much zero tackles in that class. You know, Bredesen was a swing guy, but apparently he's not even being thought of as a potential tackle during last year's complete disaster at tackle. So they get zero tackles in that class. And then if they get Devery Hamilton, who started for Stanford last year, a lot of those problems just don't happen, you know? So it fundamentally goes back to recruiting.
Newsom was a guy they held on to.
Yeah.
Would have factored in, but he gets hurt.
There's some bad luck, but you didn't give yourself sufficient bullets in the chamber because you completely whiffed. You're on your first full recruiting year. And that goes back to recruiting. And as far as, you know, Michigan's inability to bring in a top play caller, they don't need that. They have one. His name is Jim Harbaugh. So if he wants other guys to have input to make his offense more efficient, that's fine. But what they need is they need recruiters and they need guys who can coach up people in their technique. And they got a couple of them maybe, but I really like the Wheatley hire. I thought Wheatley was a perfect fit for what Harbaugh needs on his offensive staff. But what he thinks he needs is 7 offensive coordinators, I guess. And I'm just like, maybe not. So,
well, I mean, I wonder if this is just more name than substance. I mean, I agree. I mean, Michigan has an offensive coordinator. It's Jim Harbaugh. I agree with that completely. And the fact that Jim Harbaugh is the offensive coordinator means you're not going to be able to bring in another offensive coordinator.
But he has,
calls them that. And I mean, you know, McElwain is coming in as a wide receiver coach, offensive coordinator.
Because I think it's legit that the coordinators that you know, the bulk of the plays that they run are the ones that are suggested by the coordinators. I do believe that.
Well, so,
but that would be true for most any offensive staff, I assume. That
Michigan has
all the offensive.
Michigan already has a limited talent pool because they want guys who are college guys and they want guys who run pro style offenses. And Danny Enos was a good pick because he'd been at Arkansas, he'd been at Michigan State, he'd been at Alabama, so he had this long track record of being pretty decent as a pro style offensive coordinator. And unless we're going to pick guys off from Wisconsin now, I don't really know where your talent level comes from. It comes from guys who used to be in the Bama tree. And the problem with
the pros.
Or the pros. And the problem with that is the guys from the pros can't recruit. And the guys from the Bama tree, you have no idea what their real talent level is because they've got 65 5-stars on their offense. So
kind of like taking from the Patriots tree.
Right, yeah. It's like you don't know what you're going to get. Maybe it's going to be Kirby Smart. Maybe it's going to be Romeo Crennel. I don't know.
We need to get another break in here before we get to the rest of these calls. I know Brian wants to wax poetic on.
We could talk about the nice thing.
Yeah, the victory over Iowa last night, right? Duncan Robinson coming out of a slump.
Talk about sharks because that's just
how
we roll.
No, you got to talk about sharks.
That's how we roll around here.
You got to talk about sharks.
The beasts of the sea.
We will never. You know what, Brian? I know you don't do press conferences, man. I know you don't. But you have got
no,
to
no.
You have got to
how
come.
Unfair is that
you
to
have got
Jim
to
McElwain?
Come on, man!
No way. What am I gonna ask?
Maybe you'll be a part of getting him to see the lighter side of things.
No.
You don't think so?
Only one man emerges from that press conference alive, and to be fair, it's not going to be me.
We got to get to a break. Back on the other side, Daryl Stu, we'll get to you and close things out here on the Michigan Insider on Sports Talk 1050 WTKA, The Ticket. You know, folks, Brian Cook is either extremely eclectic.
What does that mean?
Or extremely depressed.
What does that mean?
That means I just heard Brian Cook do a thorough breakdown of curling.
Yes.
So either you're depressed.
Well,
you're so depressed that you've been reduced to dissecting curling.
Reduced.
Or
You're just this eclectic guy.
Just quickly, I turn on the women's match, and they're already down 4-0 in the third end, and they go down 7-0 after this end, and they didn't have the hammer for any of these ends, so they gave up multiple point steals in the first three ends, which is like a football team giving up pick sixes on its first three possessions. It was the most mind-blowing thing I have ever seen. I've seen this before. I've watched Michigan try to pass protect. I don't need to watch any more of this, but I do like curling. Well,
let's try to speed through a call real quick. Stu in Brighton. Stu, you're on the Michigan Insider. Got to make it quick.
All right. My point, the reason why I'm disappointed with it, he's already been a head coach. He's not moving up the chain. He's moving down the chain. Human nature, if you've already had a better job, if you take me out of my job right now and make me work one of the jobs I had to work 5 years ago when I was moving up, nah. I'll do it. If I ain't got a choice, I'll do it. But I don't see it working out. You got to have a young guy moving up. That's why Partridge is so good. He's moving up the chain. You can't have guys moving down the chain.
I don't disagree with that. That's actually a pretty good point.
I don't think the guy's career is over when he gets fired.
No, but I like Michigan picking up the kid from Central.
Jerome.
Yeah, he's younger than me. I can call him a kid.
Let's squeeze this in real quick. Daryl on the cell. Got to make it quick.
Hey, okay, real quick. I don't know, guys. Michigan's Dive coaching staff plus Dan Enos does not equal the Dive member coaching staff plus Mikel Wade, in my opinion. I'm just saying. You don't need Mikel Wade to recruit in Florida because Harbaugh's been picking up kids from Florida anyway. So I think you need him for the play calling. And that's really much, pretty much it, in my opinion. Let you go. All right. And have a go.
Yeah, thanks a lot for the call there, Daryl.
Good job, Duncan Robinson. Good job.
Yes.
You teed up Tyler Cook.
Someone should say the words Duncan Robinson.
Duncan Robinson, go. Yay.
Tebo.
10 for 15 from three in the last two games. And if he. Yeah.
And he teed up Tyler Cook.
If he keeps it up versus Ohio State, it's a different game. It's a much different game for Duncan Robinson. Is hitting like he has over the last couple of games. That'll do it for us.
Better than us!